Good morning. Good morning. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, it's time for the Garden Line. It's Tuesday. Would love to hear from you. 850-437-1620. Oh, my goodness. Mike, we already have questions coming in.
Oh, so soon.
Woo! We are awake today.
We've got to do our normal weather report here on the Garden Line.
Actually, I'm looking forward to this weekend's weather.
It's going to be amazing. And you know why it's going to get cool? Because it's the fair.
We're going to have the fair coming soon, and then all of a sudden, boom. I mean, but it's supposed to dip down to the 50s.
That is correct. Sunday night, I think it is. I'm supposed to have a little rain, I think, Saturday night, and then it gets cool into maybe the high 50s, low 60s for sure. And then the high temperature the next day is only going to be in the 70s. So we are getting into fall in a big way, and I know a lot of people are ready for that.
I think we are. We've done our time with the higher heat and
That's
humidity,
right.
So it's okay, and it's time to enjoy the fall weather and be outside. This is the time where a lot of people are outside enjoying the gardens and yards they've worked so hard on all summer long to keep alive. And we would love to see your pictures. I was thinking this morning while I was getting ready, I put on my flower dress for you because it's Garden Line Day.
Great.
And so I love to wear flowers on Tuesdays. And I was like, wait a second, I haven't asked for flower pictures in a couple weeks. Well, I'm going to blame it on my COVID brain, but we want to see your pictures too. We love seeing the pictures come in. 850-437-1620. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Garden Line.
We have the greatest audience, Jenna. We really do. As I travel during my week, a lot of folks listen to us, many of whom I didn't realize were into gardening at all. Some folks just like our music.
I bet they do.
They like our music, children of the 60s. Let me mention one thing before we get started here. This is always kind of fun for me. It's more arithmetic than anything else. But a lot of people want to know, when is the first freeze going to happen in Pensacola? So they can move in their house plants and do some of the things you might want to do if it's going to freeze. So this is an old report, and this all probably came out before global warming. I've had it in my file for a long time. But in any event, here we go.
That's a pretty old report, then.
It's an old report. All right, here we go. This fall, when temperatures are going to hit 32 degrees, you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
It's a lot of percentages, so I won't do them all. There's a 10% chance you'll have 32-degree temperatures by November 11th. I don't know about that.
Oh, wow.
By November 28th, you'll have a 30% chance you're going to have it. And then by December 10th, you have a 50% chance of that freeze going all the way to January 7th, when in Pensacola, you'll have a 90% chance of freezing weather. I've talked about this report before, mainly in the spring when we talked about having the last freeze. And it has generally been correct, but things are changing. The climate is changing. So maybe we won't have a freeze at all. That would be kind of cool. But a lot of people like that. A lot of people like that colder weather.
The shock in the system.
Yes. That's right. And, you know, a lot of folks, back in my political days, we all used to talk about some of those folks who moved to Pensacola from South Florida. They retired from the north, moved to places like Sarasota, Fort Myers, that type of thing. Just didn't like the constant hot weather.
Yes.
But wanted to find a place that had some seasons to it.
But
yet wasn't too cold. So here we are. That's why some folks have moved to Pensacola.
I saw a tree yesterday that the colors were changing.
Yes, absolutely.
And I was like, look at that. But it was, driving, so I was being responsible, and I didn't take a picture. I just said, look at that.
Exactly.
And it was on I-10 heading westbound, if you're wanting to look right before the Highway 29 exit. Right. Hey, 850-437-1620. I want to talk more freezes, but first we've got questions, a ton of questions coming in, so I want to jump right into it.
That's more important. Let's do that.
We've got Rodney from Pensacola on the phone. Good morning, Rodney. What's your question for Mike?
Hey, Rodney. Morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I bought some fall wildflower mix online. And any tips on, I'm putting along a fence line. Any tips on, do I need to hoe that in or just sprinkling it on the ground, or what do you think?
Well, later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about ryegrass. And to me, if you're going to plant those wildflower seeds, which is really fun to do, especially if you have bought what they call a southeastern mix of sunflower seeds, because generally those have the sunflower, or the wildflower seeds, I should say, the wildflower seeds that do so much better for us. But yes, you're right. What I would do is simply, you know, get my rake, you know, my leaf rake, and rake the area, and rake it good. If it's an area that has some weeds in it, at least mow them down close to the ground. Scratch the area, sow the seeds. I like to do it in a little hand seeder. That puts them out evenly, if you will. Or you can just do it by hand, but sometimes that makes it a little uneven. And then go back at 90-degree angle to the way you raked it the first time and rake them in. They don't necessarily have to be buried. They just need to be kind of in a groove where they're next to moist soil. And they'll do great for you, and they are fun to grow. And it's a good way to treat a natural area, if you will, an area that maybe is not very attractive, but put those wildflowers out there. Sometimes you never know really what you're going to get.
Oh, they're so pretty.
They are pretty, but sometimes it's a surprise. So I look forward to it. Now, what we need from you, Rodney, is a report in the spring as to how those wildflower seeds did, because I think that's kind of fun what you're doing. But be sure to scratch them in.
How they're going to turn out.
Exactly. And keep in mind now that we are in October and going into November, which is historically a dry period for us. So especially to get those seeds germinating, you got to get some water on them. So don't neglect that. Even though it's a natural area, don't rely on Mother Nature for your water. And I think you'll be successful.
Right.
I look forward to hearing about it.
Just maybe as far as the watering, maybe once a week, or what do you think?
If it's just doesn't rain, period, if it's just as dry as it can be, I'd go at least twice a week, especially initially.
Okay.
About twice a week. I'm recommend if you've got like your lawn and the way things are right now, I'm telling folks maybe three times a week. Because keep in mind, those roots of those plants and that lawn still grow in Pensacola. The soil will still maintain that. But yes, I'd go on those seeds. I'd go twice a week.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited to see what comes up.
Oh, we are too. Let us know.
Yes. Keep in touch with us, Rodney. Right. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for your questions. 850-437-1620. Love to hear from y'all when you call. Here's a question coming in. What variety boxwood will grow tall fast? Thank you for your interesting program. We always enjoy listening. You're welcome.
The boxwoods are good. There are a couple of different kinds. There's a traditional boxwood. I'm a round leaf boxwood that I really like. Then there's, I think it's called an English boxwood. I think I'd steer clear of that one. It has historically a little bit of a nematode problem, which is kind of an insect problem we can get into sometime. But your regular round leaf boxwood. But then none of the two varieties of boxwoods are going to be real fast growers. They're a great little hedge plant, if you will, put underneath a bay window. I've got them underneath my bay window at home, and they've thrived there over many, many years. So they're going to be kind of slow, but it's a good basic landscape plant for Pensacola. Just the basics. They love the sun. Those semi-shade will work also for you. If you're going to plant them this time of year, you'll find if you take them out of the pot, they are kind of root-bound. Be sure to loosen those roots, put a little organic material, Canadian sphagnum, peat moss, in the hole in which you're going to plant them, and have at it. But that round-leaf boxwood, to me, is the best.
Perfect. All right. Round-leaf boxwood. I hope that answers your questions. We've got more.
For me, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea.
9:18 here on the Garden Line. We're feeling good this morning, right, Mike?
We are feeling good this morning, and I just would like to ask the audience if anybody knows Michael Bublé. Jenna said she would like to meet this guy. One of her favorite artists.
I can see why he is great. Or maybe he's listening.
He might be listening. I think he, now correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure the audience will, I think he has come to Pensacola and performed at the Sanger.
Listen.
If I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong.
I did not see him
when he was there.
It's one of those, what do you call that, bucket list things that I just want to check.
Okay, well, the audience will help. We have a great audience here. They might be close and personal with this guy. Maybe they can.
Hey, I give back to you on the Garden Line. You give back to me. This is how it goes. We're friends. 850-437-1620. Is there any type of grass that will grow in shade, Mike?
Oh, that's a great question. And the answer to that, in my opinion, is no. Turf grass needs sun. It really does. The closest you could plant, in my opinion, would be St. Augustine, of course. But the old rule of thumb is not totally true, but it's close, that if you've got 50% shade, you're going to have 50% grass. 30, 70, 60, 40, that type of thing, because grass doesn't like to shade. Now, as you go around town, you see some yards that are under dense oak shade that look great, look like $1 million. They just look very healthy. Sometimes that grass has been there a long time, and that tree and that lawn have grown together, if you will, and the grass has adapted to the shade. However, if you have a shady area, sodding in shade is not really going to work for you. I would discourage it, because so many times people spend a lot of money sodding their whole yard, some of which is under a lot of shade, and under the shade it just doesn't work. And you can see a lot of lawns where the lawn is good, but as it gets closer to the shade of the trees, it gets weaker and weaker. So my answer is basically no. If you have a lot of shade, there's no turf grass. I would landscape my way out of it. Make you a big bed, put in some azaleas, liriope. It's endless the things you can use. But lawn grass is not going to thrive, especially in dense shade.
Okay, very good. Hey, 850-437-1620. See your text coming in. Promise to get to you. It's 921 here on the Garden Line. And we're here to answer your questions. Well, Mike is. I'll help. And so here's a question. Good morning to Lisa, our friend Lisa from Milton. She'd like to know, why are the leaves turning yellow on her, is it called an angel trumpet? Angle trumpet? Is it angel or angle? I don't know. But it's a beautiful white flower. And it literally looks like, what do you call that part of the trumpet that the sound comes out? What do you call it? Somebody help me out.
I don't know.
I'm acting it out.
You're acting
but
it out. Jenna, I don't know.
You can't see me, so I feel really bad. Yeah. It's beautiful, a beautiful white flower, and they dangle below. Mike is looking now, because apparently my charades is not helping him. I do see the yellowing, but the flowers and the blooms themselves look absolutely gorgeous. That's the mystery. So we're going to take a look at that, Lisa. Just hang on there for a second. And then let's see. We have Jan. Good morning, Jan. When should we spread winterizer on centipede grass?
That's another great question. Let's go back to the trumpet.
Did you see it now?
Yeah, I got
okay,
it. I've got it now. I think, quite frankly, it's just the time of year. I know my mandevilla is doing some of the same. It's not the same plant at all. But I think maybe we've hit a dry period here, and I think that's kind of just what they do. I don't think there's a problem with the plant at all. I think it's just probably the time of year and the maturity of the blooms. That's my take on that. I don't think you've got a major problem with the plant.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. You're not going to pluck those leaves. Just let them be.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Run its course.
Yeah, let me scroll up here so be sure.
Oh, she's showing you all the beautiful blooms. And that's the thing, is sometimes it's a little bit of a mystery when the blooms look great, but the leaves do have some yellowing. I have a couple of plants like that.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's just time of year.
Oh, okay.
I really do. I think a little bit of dry weather, time of year, a little cooler. I think that's just is very common.
I love that 70% humidity is considered dry weather to us. But good job. I like it. You know, we'll take it.
Yeah. I think Lisa's okay.
All right, Lisa, I hope that helps you. Hopping on back to Jan, when should we spread that winterizer on centipede, Mike?
Okay, we're getting almost to the point where it's too late. To the point. However, I would go at least through October and give it a shot. Remember now, we want to use a fertilizer that is made for the fall. All fertilizers, we've been through this a lot here, all fertilizers have three numbers, like 888, 101010, 1608, but the last number of those three needs to be bigger than the first two. That is potash, and that is going to fortify the roots to help that grass make it through the winter. When you put that fertilizer on your centipede or even St. Augustine, you're not going to see a lot of new green growth because you have less nitrogen. You don't want that nitrogen right now because that grass is trying to slide into dormancy anyway. So, no, I would go ahead and do it for sure. One other thing about that winterizer fertilizer this time of year, if you're using a cyclone spreader which throws it out, that's good. Let it go into the shrubbery too. It's got a great formula to help the roots of that shrubbery fortify themselves, for lack of a better word, to make it through the winter. So, yeah, it's a good product. I'd go ahead and do it. But as we get into November, December, it probably wouldn't do one bit of harm, but I'm not convinced it's going to do that much good as we wait too late. Because if you remember, Jenna, we started talking about putting that winterizer on in late August and September.
So we're getting
kind of the end of the line on that.
Point of no return.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and do it. I would do it for sure.
All right. Thank you so much for those questions. We've got more coming in. We do have to take another quick break. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coming up and answering your questions here on the Garden Line.
This is our favorite song. You know, it's Marilyn McCoo singing that with
That's
the Fifth
right.
Dimension.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a good one. We're feeling good today, I will tell you. It's a good day.
I got the Fifth Dimension on as a, one of my on my playlists with Pandora.
I
listen to it all the time.
We're jamming back here. We're having fun. We do have to take a break and go to the news in just a moment, but I want to let you know, please keep those questions coming, 850-437-1620, and we will get back to them after a little news break and a little tribute to Johnny Appyard that we do every week.
Absolutely.
I don't think people understand how great he was and how this is the time that you get to hear it.
He was quite the guy.
Yeah.
I knew him very, very well and a good friend, and he was fabulous. He was Pensacola's historian,
mm-hmm.
no doubt.
Absolutely. And hey, I wanted to also say, you know, if you do have questions, like when it comes to getting ready for the first chill, which hopefully we won't see until Christmas, please get them in, 850-437-1620. We're here to help you. And Mark Jacobs is here to give you a little news update. How's it going?
Doing all right.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about a little trash talk in Santa Rosa County.
Oh, yeah.
That story coming up after Fox News.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. A House vote slated for later today on the debt ceiling puts off a fight many warn threatens the economy.
Republicans have argued Democrats should act on their own as they work to spend trillions on President Biden's Build Back Better plan. Last week, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said Republicans would not block debt ceiling legislation, clearing the way for the measure to reach the House.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. The bill temporarily raises the government's borrowing limit to $28.9 trillion. And a key jobs report just out.
For August, the number is 10.439 million jobs open, slightly less than we expected. However, July was revised much higher to a record high, 11.098 million, and that's the first time it ever crossed 11 million.
That's Fox's Lauren Simonetti. America's listening to Fox News.
Nine 9:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, 76, mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. A company can claim a victory in a legal battle over trash pickup in Santa Rosa County. A judge granting Waste Pro's temporary injunction against Adams Sanitation. The move blocking Adams from picking up trash in South Santa Rosa effective Monday. That's when Waste Pro will take over. Gas prices in Florida at a seven-year high, no sign of them coming down anytime soon. AAA says the statewide average for a gallon of regular unleaded is $3.17. That's the highest since 2014. A AAA spokesman says the higher prices for crude are driving up production costs, and it's not clear when or if those prices will come back down. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Sunny skies, temperatures warming near 84 degrees for that high. Overnight tonight, nice clear skies, low near 69. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
76 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' Robin.
We're back here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. 850-437-1620. We have Dan from Pensacola on the line. Hey, Dan, good morning to you.
Morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Nestle. Got a question on the mowing St. Augustine going into the fall. The grass is in excellent condition. I've been mulching all year. I could hear it growing through the summer, but outside to hear it grow. Should I switch to bagging the lawn for the oak leaves and pine straw and grass clippings through the, you know, for the next few months?
Okay, let me be sure I understand the question. You want to know if you should bag the clippings when you mow the St. Augustine?
Well, yeah, I've been mulching all year, letting
right.
it drop down into the lawn. I just wonder, I got oak leaves that are falling in certain parts, and it's kind of heavy, sort of.
Yes, to answer your question, absolutely yes. I would go ahead and, you know, collect all the clippings and the leaves and whatever. Yes, but Dan, you probably know this maybe more than I do. I have St. Augustine, and I'm so tempted to lower that level of my mower this time of year. But don't do it. Keep that mower almost as high as it will go, 4 inches at least, 4 inches, and don't
yeah.
change it ever.
Yeah, I mean, got it on me.
Yeah, but right. yeah, I've been collecting my clippings also because I've got this oak tree and I get a lot of leaves, and I'm like, so I collect all of that, pick all that up, and I think that's the best way to do it. Plus, sometimes when you have a weed problem, you'll collect some of those weed seeds so they don't recycle into the lawn. So I would go ahead and collect the clippings. I would.
Yeah, I guess the oak leaf mulch and pine straw mulch really isn't that great for grass, is it?
No, you need to get that off the grass, no doubt.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Hey, go get them. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much, Dan. 850-437-1620. Mike, sorry about that. I had to mute my mic real quick. I've got a little tickle in my throat, which means the dry air is coming.
Yes, it'll be here.
Okay, so
it'll be here Sunday night.
Mike, we have a lot of requests to talk about winterizer.
Okay.
So we have to hop back to that, okay?
Sure.
Let's talk St. Augustine and winterizer. What's a good list to stick by when it comes to winterizers for St. Augustine grass?
Well, a couple things. My favorite formula for that is 10-5-14. Mm-hmm. I even had trouble finding some of that this year. I found a 10-0-14, which is perfect. I always did, and we did this last week, sent out to Pensacola Seed and Garden, send our whoever is looking for it out there. They, in my understanding, special order their winterizer, which has a formula that has that last number much larger than the other numbers. So that's fine. That is great to use. So that's what I would do. Timing-wise, I really like to use it a little earlier than the middle of October. But if you haven't done it, like we talked about a minute ago, I would go ahead and do it. It won't hurt anything. It may not help quite as much as if you had done it earlier. But I would go ahead and do it if you have time, say, this weekend. So that's the direction I would take. Now, this is so important. You go to a big box store, let's just say that, and a big box store, and you'll have a stack of winterizer fertilizer containing weed killer. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's usually the winterizer formula that they use is not the right formula, and putting the winterizer, the weed killer on like that is not the thing to do either, in my opinion. So if you're going to, don't use a combination. If you're going to use the winterizer fertilizer, use only the fertilizer, and then we'll deal with the weeds another way, with a spray or a different granule. But just get the winterizer as it is, not with a weed killer. That's really important.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you for that. 850-437-1620. Send your questions into the Garden Line. Okay, we've got some more coming in. Here we go. We talked about putting grass on the shade, right? So when do we put white sand on the grass? What's the purpose of that?
Well, that is another great question. And there's a difference of opinion on that as far as I'm concerned. Number one, let's do timing. Right now is absolutely not the time to do it. I would do it in the spring after that grass has come out of its dormancy. A lot of people put the white sand because supposedly that the grass where it's weak, where you put the white sand, will grow into that. It kind of adds to the soil, if you will. I have never been a huge proponent of that. I think if you've got a real weak area, say just full of weeds, and once you get rid of the weeds, you've got nothing but dirt, the white sand isn't going to do you that much good. I would consider sodding or plugging that area with grass versus putting the white sand. But a lot of people believe in that, and I would love to hear from some of our landscapers out there as to how, if they have used white sand in the spring on their grass, how that has worked for them. I've never been a big proponent, but you can change my mind if you've had some success. But a lot of people do it. Now, one last thing, Jenna, about this. I've seen people do this. In the spring, order a half a truckload of red clay and put that on their yard. That, I think, is really the wrong thing to do. If you're going to use any of those supplements, the white sand is the way to do it. So if you're going to use the supplement, use the white sand. But no clay. Don't use the red soil.
No. I do not like the red soil.
No.
Plus, I don't know, the children and the dogs are all just drawn to it, and it never comes off their clothes and their paws. So please, no red clay.
No red clay, absolutely.
Stay away from it. 850-437-1620. So our friend Paul from Blue Sky, I can't believe I missed this. First of all, sorry, Paul, I'm not ignoring you. So Paul actually recommended, we had a question earlier about boxwoods and how they would grow fast and what's a good boxwood. We said circle leaf boxwood, right?
I like round leaf boxwood. Round leaf, it's the ones I like.
Is it circle around? Okay, fine, Mike. Just you pick that bone with me. But Paul actually recommended using, I'm going to butcher it. Yaupon holly?
Yaupon. Absolutely.
Did I say it correctly?
Yaupon. Yaupon holly.
Excuse me I fix my hair. Okay.
Okay. Now, let me tell you about a yaupon holly. One of my absolute favorite landscaping plants, especially if you're looking for something that's bulletproof. A yaupon holly kind of grows in a mounding situation. And they have some varieties that have a little red tinge to it. They're not red leafed, but they have a little red tinge to them. But That's called Ilex vomitoria. It's the worst word in the world describe a plant, but that's what it is. Ilex means holly. Vomitoria. How in the world it got that name?
That's like a Harry Potter spell.
Yeah, like somebody ate it. I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it is a great plant. Loves the sun. Will take a generally dry situation. And if you're looking for something that you're really not going to have any problems with, but you want a low mounding plant that will grow about the same height as that boxwood, that is a great plant. The Yaupon holly, exactly.
Okay, and on top of the Yaupon holly as a substitute to boxwood, and it's because it's a native to the area and they have similar growing and habit and look, right? But he also recommended, because we've been talking a lot about lawns and winterizer, and then we were talking wildflowers before, so I want to reiterate this. He said to read From Lawns to Meadows, and I think we've talked about this book before with Paul. He said it's just an absolute good read for you, and especially, well, I don't know if I'm going to get to read it. I'm just going to be honest, but I'll try my best. I'll skim it. And he said, getting away from grass and moving towards wildflowers for a yard plot.
Right. No, and I hear you. That is a great idea. One thing, though, I think you've got to remember to temper that just a little bit. A lot of folks say, I'm sick of trying to grow grass. I'm going to make my yard be a natural environment. Well, in Pensacola, you've got to still plan for that, because if you just let things go, you're probably one season away from having a jungle. So Paul's right. You need to plan. If you're going to do a wildflower area, that's going to be the wildflower area. This is going to be turf. This is going to be turf. This is going to be foundation plants, landscaping plants, ornamentals, if you will. So divide your areas up. Don't just go hodgepodge at it. That's why when we talk about landscaping, and one of these days we're going to go through, I've got a whole list of landscape rules that we need to use. You've got to plan to the point of getting your graph paper out with a pencil and drawing what you want and where you want it and when you want to plant it and how much maintenance you want to do. So many questions if you're going to landscape, because let's face it, if nothing else, landscaping in today's world is expensive. Mm-hmm. Plants are expensive. You don't want to plant the wrong ones that are not going to live, but you want your property to have that curb appeal so it looks really designed and landscaped, even if you do use a lot of the native plants like the dwarf yaupon or the wildflowers, that type of thing. So anyway, you need to be careful how you do it.
We're going to have a rule book episode just for you, Mike. I promise.
Thank you very much.
That's what we're
going
to do.
One of these days we'll do.
Hey, we got to take another quick break. We've got more coming up, and I see more questions coming in. 850-437-1620.
Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me.
850-437-1620. Hey, hop on in and ask your questions here on the Garden Line. We have about 9 minutes left. Mike, we want to hop back to the sand.
We do want to go back to the sand. Got a nice, nice text from Mark who sent us, and he brought up a part of that discussion that I did not address, because I forgot.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I'm not a big fan of the sand, just helter-skelter, just because it's springtime, we put sand on the yard, even if you have some weak areas. I'm not a huge fan of that. But if you've got some undulations in your yard, other words, some low areas, maybe you've had a heavy truck drive over your yard and there's some indentation there, then putting the sand, or some, better yet, some, as Mark points out, some more expensive fill dirt to put in there, no clay, thank you, that's not a bad thing to do. But just to put the sand out because it's March,
right,
it's not the thing to do. However, if you do have some undulations that you need to repair to level things out, You may want to look into that. So thank you, Mark, for that. I appreciate it.
Actually, so we had another question come in, and it relates to that. So one of our listeners said that they had three huge pine trees cut down and heavy equipment left, ruts and tracks. The owners of the company said that it would plump back up and grass will grow right back. But what do you think?
I'm not sure it will. It kind of depends on the status of your soil there. I think you may just have to wait. If they did it this year, then yes, I would wait till next year to kind of see what happens. But sometimes those areas are just not going to repair themselves. They're really not. So you may have to do some of the procedures that you and I and Mark have been talking about.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Can I just say, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people park on the grass. I will tell you, it's not, I'm not like hugging trees over here, but I'm like, just let the grass alone. What did it do to you? But I see things and you have a driveway, you have a street, just don't park on the grass. Like, and if my husband's listening, he knows. I like, you touch the grass.
I agree with you.
See, I was waiting for you to have my back, Mike.
I was just going to say, I totally agree with you. I'd rather... We can talk about parking, but, I'd park in the street before I'd pull up on the grass, because I'll tell you right now, it'll do some damage.
You work hard for it.
You do work hard for it.
Take care of it, that's all. And so I love that question. There's some things, they had to remove the trees, right? They had to do what they had to do to get
that's
to the
right.
trees. Not saying that, but, think twice, because if you don't touch the grass, even something will grow and it'll be green and it'll be a lot better and a lot cleaner and prettier than dirt.
Right. And of course, if you're having a new roof put on your home or some trees removed, talk to the folks who are doing that and tell them you're very sensitive about the ruts that come from the huge trucks parking in your yard. And is there an alternative way they can do it from the driveway or from the street, or just maybe go to a little extra effort to keep from rotting up on the grass if they can. Sometimes you can't, but maybe they can help you out there.
Yes. Okay. So also, we were talking a little bit too. Somebody texted in and said that top dressing also helps to decompose the thatch buildup. Is that on the grass, or where is what is thatch buildup?
Well, thatch is the layer of grass that kind of below, right above the soil surface. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that philosophy that it would... Top dressing would do that. I've never heard... interesting. Very interesting. I'll do a little research on that one, but I've never thought that top dressing is putting sand everywhere over the whole yard.
Is that what that is?
That's top dressing.
I thought we were like putting ranch dressing on something. I don't know. Listen,
I've never heard that... that's the way to get rid of thatch. One way I've always said to get rid of thatch is just a little elbow grease. Get your good, stiff leaf rake. Get out there and just rake that yard. Don't scalp it, of course. We know better than that. But get out there and just rake that, and that gets rid of a lot of that thatch. But putting top dressing on, I've never heard that solves any thatch problem you may have. Very interesting. I'm going to ask around about that one, but I've never heard that to be the case.
Okay. Hey, Mike, we've got some information coming into us about a homesteaders meetup. I'm going to give more information on that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up here on this beautiful Tuesday morning on the Garden Line. Listening to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We've had an amazing morning hanging out with y'all.
Well, we've got to thank the audience, because we've had some back and forth with our audience today about thatch and about sand on the yard and all type of things like that. And that's just what makes it this show fun, because we've got some great gardeners out there that know what they're doing. And it's great for them to weigh in and give their opinion on things. I appreciate it. I really do.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for all the pictures today. Even if I don't mention it, I love to see the pictures. So don't think because I forget to say send in your pictures, it doesn't mean I don't want to see them. Please,
well,
we get
busy on the Garden Line,
We do.
We really do. It's great.
Is it a night blooming cerise?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we did that last week. Remember?
This is humongous.
Yeah.
It's our friend Vicky sent in a huge picture. That one's going up. That's our podcast winner for today. Also, I mentioned before that we got a text about, let's see. Okay, our friend Lisa reminded us about the Homesteaders Meetup October 24th. I'm going to put the link to the Eventbrite page on the podcast today, too, so you can go online to newsradio923.com. Look for podcasts, scroll down, Pensacola Expert Panel. You'll see my face. And then, or actually, no, go right to the Garden Line podcast. We have our special own. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
I feel like we should rename it to our listeners' favorite name for us and be Possum and Tammy.
You're on today, girl. You're on today. Let me tell you one thing we've got to talk about next week. We've got to talk about winter ryegrass if you want a green lawn all winter. We're going to start off with that next week. That's important.
Perfect. Yes, join us every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. for the Garden Line. And don't go anywhere. Bob Burgee is joining us. We're going to talk all things money when we come back.